Welcome to week 5 of Trinity's Bible Study for Women. We are talking about the Tower of Babel today. If you remember last week, we left off with Noah getting off the ark and his 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so this week we're looking at Genesis 10 through the beginning of Genesis 12. We see that this list of genealogy names, and a lot of times we want to skip through all that, and I get it, but I do think it's interesting that there is something God is showing us through these lines of people. These 3 sons of Noah, he's very clearly putting out that all of mankind is coming from these 3 sons. And even in your homework, you'll see a little map, and you can see sort of where the 3 sons' descendants settled. So you have Japheth, which his descendants tended to be more the Aegean area, more what we would think of maybe the Europeans coming from. Then Ham, his descendants were going to be like the Canaanites into Africa, Assyria, Egypt, that kind of area. And then Shem is going to be the great-great-great-great-grandfather of the Hebrews, kind of the Arabs and the Jews in this area of on that map in your homework. So who cares about that, right? Like, whatever. But this is what we need to be looking out for. Remember that Shem is the blessed line. Shem is the one that is going to have this seed that God promised Adam and Eve in the garden. So we need to kind of get our clue from what God is including in his scripture. We see that all of this, a bunch of people are spreading around the earth. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this genealogy, we get this story of the Tower of Babel. This is one of those stories that I definitely remember when I was a little girl and just being mesmerized by this story. I don't know what it was. Maybe there was a little bit of a craziness to it, and I just remember the little kind of illustrations of them trying to build this tower and then God messing it up. So that's what we're going to look at this week. Kidner, one of our commentators, says this is a grandiose ultimate achievement while insecurely clinging to each other to preserve identity and control fortunes. So let's look at the Tower of Babel. Before we read our passage, let's pray. Lord, you're so good to us that in the middle of all that we have going on, we can pause and listen to your word, talk to even one another about how this impacts our lives today, things that happened so long ago, but that you put into our Bibles. So they're there to teach us. I ask that we would learn what you have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. So let's read Genesis 11, 1-9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So there we have it. They get together, and I love how they say, let's come, let us build. And I don't know about you, but does this trigger some memory of Genesis 1 when God said, let us build, let us create a world? And very much of the similar idea, these men and women want to build something to their glory. They want a tower to reach to heaven, which is probably hyperbole, but you get the idea that they think they can do something on the same scale that would get them to heaven, that would get them on par with God. It's to reach that status. and they want to make a name for themselves. They're not filling the purpose we saw in Genesis 1 and 2 of multiply and having dominion over the earth, of spreading out, of being God's representatives around the earth. They're just not doing what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to fill His earth as worshipers of Him, and instead, they're kind of shrinking in, sticking together, and wanting their name to be glorified. Why are they building this tower? Well, first, they want to make a name. They want their own glory. They want to make a mark. And I think we today can totally understand that, of I want to be famous. I want my life to count for something. I want people to miss me when I'm gone. But also you see them wanting security. They are having confidence in numbers, that they're secure in their alikeness. They want to stick together. They want to be comfortable with others just like them. And we see shades of Eve and Cain, that they want, Eve wanted to be like God. Cain wanted not to be isolated. And we see this pride of life. So this is what we have, this tower being built. I think there were tar pits around that area. They're building bricks. They are coming together with this one goal. And it's just ironic that later this site becomes the site of the city of Babylon, which is identified as a whore or a rich adulterous woman who oppresses God's people. So there's just a lot of history going on that I want to clue in as we read the Bible, that a lot of it has been going on since the beginning. So then we have this tower that's going up. They're making hay. They're doing their thing. And then we see, let's see, in verse 4, verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that they were building. So it's kind of cute in a way. It's like God, who sees everything and knows everything. There's this this kind of putting it in terms that we can understand. He is going to come down and see what they're doing. And it's sort of like when my kids were little and I'd be cooking, or I'd walk through the playroom and they'd be building something with Legos or blocks, and they want me to see it. And I'd look down like, let me see what you're building. That's so cute. That's so good. It is almost that term, that kind of feeling of God saying, let's go down and check out what they're doing. If they're little Legos, this little Tower of Babel. And the Trinity basically stoops down to check out the tower. You know, this tower was not a danger to God. It was a danger to them. The result is that He says, let's confuse their language. We can end this right now. Because if they cannot talk and understand each other, they can't work together. They can't plan. They can't keep this up. And so God interrupts their plans. What they really deserved was judgment. I'm going to read from Isaiah 2, 12 through 18. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and all the oaks of Bashan, and for all the towering mountains and all the high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, for every trading ship and every stately vessel, the arrogance of man will be brought low and human pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear. So we see that really what they deserved was judgment, that they have this pride. They want to be exalted. And we see this in so many ways that mankind has done, whether it's they're going to put their trust in ships that can take cargo and trade, whether they build huge cities with fortifications, whether they build a huge tower up to heaven. You see men and women building things to give themselves security and status. But we also see that when God confused their language, really, that was mercy. The Tower of Babel would have led them more and more away from God would have let them entrench in this pride. They would not have felt a need for God. They would have been hardened and felt self-sufficient. And God limits their progress to limit their damage. Kidner says, better division than collective apostasy. I just want to ask us right now, what's the tower that you are building right now? What are the bricks you're forming from what you have in your life, in your area? Just like they had tar and they built bricks out of tar, what is it you're building? What are you trying to pile up so that you have status, so that you have security, so that you have just a feeling of you're okay? Maybe it's how you do your career. Maybe it's how you do your family. Maybe it's that you want perfection. Maybe you want control. And so you take the bricks of food or exercise, or you take the bricks of making your children go to the right schools or not. Maybe you take the bricks of a street address or a firm or a corporate address. I don't know what it is. For every person listening or watching this, there is an enormous amount of bricks to grab and build a tower that takes you away from God and away from His purposes for you, for your own purposes. And what is your purpose? Is your life built around trying to honor God and glorify Him and doing His commands, His purposes for you as His child, as His daughter, or is it to gain your own name, glory? And also, just as you think about the ways God may has torn down your towers and how that has felt so frustrating or so unloving of God, and how has that really been mercy? When you have been frustrated in your plans, you have been frustrated in all the things you've worked for, and you tend to see that as God tearing down your Legos, when in essence He is saying, no, you do not need these. These are just mere Legos. You want me. Let me be your strong fortress, and let me be your tower of safety. So we see how they have built this tower, how this tower has been interrupted. But I think there is something to notice about why the author puts this story in the middle of this genealogy. Why the tower now? And then why immediately after this Tower of Babel story pick up the genealogy of Shem, the blessed son, the one with the blessing? And we see, lastly, how God undoes the Tower of Babel. That is not just He interrupts it. He interrupts it in this story at this time, but the salvation that He is planning for us undoes the Babel, undoes this tower that they've built. So we have this theme of grace that is continuing. Instead of an ark, we have a family, this family of Shem, and it leads down to this man named Abraham. So you almost get the sense of the way the book is set up and the way these chapters are built, that all of a sudden there's this crescendo to Shem and it leads to this man named Abraham. There are 10 generations between Noah and Abram. They've lost God again, and instead of a flood and ark, He takes Abram and makes his family an ark. It's kind of a way to keep a witness, to keep this salvation plan intact. Instead of using an ark and flooding the world, God is going to take Abram and He's going to make his family the safety that nations will be blessed through. And we see the author move from the peoples of the earth back to this family of Shem's line. So the promise is intact. And now we're starting to maybe start seeing what we're going to be talking about in the next lesson, which is we see Abram getting called away from his family, from his people, because he was an idol worshiper. We think he probably maybe worshiped the moon or something. Anyway, he was not following God. But God reaches in and says, I want you to follow me. I want you to leave all this behind, and I want to take you to a new land where I'm going to be your God and you're going to be mine. So we'll get to that next week. So God undoes what what the people were trying to do at Babel. And it's really what he is accomplishing, what the Babel people couldn't, and that he gives everyone this new language that's common. Let's look at Pentecost in Acts 2, 1 through 8. Actually, I'm just going to read 5 through 6. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So this is after Jesus has been taken back into heaven after the resurrection, and he had promised, my helper is coming. And this is when the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene. There's a multitude of people from all different language groups. And all of a sudden, they can understand each other. And it was a miracle. And it was the Holy Spirit. And we see this thing that God had to do to break up the people at Babel, that now he's bringing them together in this new language of the Spirit. And so isn't that what you feel sometimes if you've ever traveled, even if you've gone to the beach and gone to another church, how you can meet people that are believers and you feel like you know them. And so there's this sense of God is bringing together the disbursement and bringing us all into a common language of his salvation. Also, instead of building this city, this tower up to the heavens, God himself is doing something so much better than their Legos. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So instead of this Lego tower with little bricks and mortar, how about a city built by God? Who the designer is not a bunch of people who are trying to make a name and a monument for themselves, but God himself who designs it. And in Revelation 7, 9, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And we see now that although all of us are going to be from so many different places and cultures and languages, that we will all praise in the same way when we're in the new heavens and new earth. So this kingdom of God, this kingdom that God builds and designs, actually gives us what the people that built the Tower of Babel were looking for. It gives us an eternal name, an eternal place, an eternal belonging, an eternal purpose. It also gives us security forever. It gives us safety, and we will become a one tongue, one people, one glorifying God together group. And so God had to disperse them because they were trying to be God. But then we see in his design how his salvation brings us into one family, into one people. And the language shows that. So I want to end this lecture with just this question. Which tower do you feel like you're living in right now? Do you feel like you're living in a tower of Legos where at any moment something could knock it down? Something like COVID, something like a job loss, something like a not getting in the sorority you want, something like just health, children doing things that embarrass you, whether picking their nose at church or go into jail, whatever it is. What are the things that you can sense that the thing you're taking security and status and strength out of really is susceptible to being knocked down, to being undone? Is there something better? Or are you building, are you living in the tower that God builds? In Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. That's the tower I want us to live in. Run to the name of the Lord. Run into the God that protects, that builds, that gives you His name, that adopts you into this family, and who promises you safety, security, and a status as His daughter forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for sharing Your name with us. And I ask that You would convict us of the Legos we're building up for our little towers. But Lord, give us sweet, just rest in the tower that You give us. In Christ's name, amen.